Welcome into Broncos Training Camp Daily. I'm Matt Boyer. Now, before we get to today's show, a little bit of news broke just after we recorded. Head coach Vance Joseph, during today's walkthrough, gave an injury update on Shane Ray.
Shane, at practice yesterday, tore a ligament in his left wrist. Just taking on the block. His wrist got caught the flip way and tore a ligament. He worked through it yesterday. He worked through it today. Mm-hmm. We got x-rays, and he needs surgery. It's going to be 6 to 8 weeks. He should go in tomorrow morning, a.m., and he should be out tomorrow by lunch probably. But he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, guys. Injuries happen, and in my opinion, they're going to happen. But when they happen, it's important. So, right now, I think we're in good shape. They're happening early. We can get these guys back for the full season. So, obviously,
do you have to make a roster move?
Disappointed for him.
So Shane Ray out 6 to 8 weeks with a torn wrist ligament. Keep it tuned to DenverBroncos.com, though, for the latest as this story continues to develop. We'll also be talking about this, I'm sure, in tomorrow's show. But for now, enjoy day two. It's Broncos Training Camp Daily.
That's what we do. We work and we grind and we play.
Over 4,500 of our closest friends returning to Broncos training camp for day two. The quarterback battle raging on. Vance Joseph, of course, watching along closely. And a familiar face returning to that defensive huddle. Welcome in, everybody, to day two of Broncos training camp daily. I'm Matt Boyer, joined by Phil Milani. And Phil, we left yesterday thinking that today was going to look a little different. The guys were going to go long, but it looked pretty similar to day one.
Yeah, they still went only about an hour and a half, although they did some first down, second down type of work, closed things up with yet again some red zone work. And Vance Joseph said that the idea is to just get the guys to get their legs back underneath them, avoid injury. And one way to do that, keep camp a little bit shorter and keep that field a little bit tighter.
Something that did look a little bit different today was the quarterback battle. Paxton Lynch going with the ones, Trevor Siemian running with the twos. What did you see from those two guys? I know you got up close and personal with that team, period.
At the end there in the 7-on-7 in the red zone, I really thought that Trevor Siemian looked sharp. He was making all of his throws. He ended things with a nice fade pass to C.J. Anderson. He looked really sharp there. Earlier in the day, though, I thought Paxton was looking really nice. He had a long throw to Cody Latimer. That was a nice connection on 7-on-7. And then more than anything, he was using his legs and took off down the sideline, beat a couple of linebackers and a safety there to get into the end zone, started high-fiving some of the crowd there. So I thought both guys looked pretty good. And the interesting thing to me there is afterward, we heard from Emmanuel Sanders, Chris Harris Jr. Those guys said, we're not going to really notice a lot of separation out here on the practice field. We're going to have to wait till the preseason.
The no-fly zone among the many on that defensive core that are going to test both Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian as we move through camp. But another member of that big defense coming back to the field today was Derek Wolfe. He, of course, having that stomach ailment. But as he told us, he is ready to go.
Yeah, yesterday I had a rough night the other night. I caught some kind of food poisoning or something. And yeah, from 10 a.m. or from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., I was just stuck, and they let me go home and got an IV and got myself together. So back today, I feel great. I thought, we're just clicking, everything's just clicking, and when somebody makes a mistake, they fix it right away. So it's great to play. That's how we were the season we won the Super Bowl. Everybody was just clicking on all cylinders, and that's how it feels right now.
So Derek Wolfe already very confident in what this defense can do, some allusions to that 2015 Super Bowl winning defensive core. So a lot to look forward to on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive side, not as much familiarity, not as much rhythm, because the Broncos have added some new players. Steven Ridley, of course, and then Allen Barber.
Yeah, a lot of question marks on the offensive side all around. The interesting thing, you bring in Alan Barber. He could fill some of the guard play there. Not sure, you know, if they liked Max Garcia necessarily being able to play on that right side. So some fluidity along the offensive line. And then really in the running back room, there's so many question marks back there. When a guy like Devontae Booker goes down, had the surgery today, you want some insurance policies there. You bring in Stephen Ridley. You bring in Jamal Charles. I think those guys just shore up a little bit of the question marks in the running back room.
You mentioned him. Jamal Charles was back on the field, not taking part in the team drills, but looked very good in the individual sessions. But as he told us, he is looking forward to finally putting on the pads one day and getting some hits in.
Yeah, I feel great, you know what I'm saying, going out there and practicing, doing the any drills and individuals, going through my plays. I feel good, you know what I'm saying, so I'm excited just to be out here. I told them definitely I want to do more, and right now I'm happy with the system. They're taking their time with me, and I told them I want to do a little bit of thug and get hit. You know what I'm saying? I want that just to get my confidence up and see what I need to fit my pass and make people miss. So the process is still in a going process right now. Whatever they tell me to do, I'm just doing it day by day.
So Jamal Charles looking forward to getting back, getting into a rhythm. You know, with running backs especially, it's kind of hard because you never really know what your body's going to react to or how it's going to feel until you take that first hit. So it's good to see him very anxious and biting at the bit, chomping at the bit, I should say, to get back onto the field. Another guy that he's going to have to face, though, eventually when he goes into pads is Von Miller.
Yeah, Von Miller has really had a great start to camp just 2 days in. But we keep talking about the quarterback battle. It's hard for those quarterbacks to see what's happening downfield when Von Miller is in their face, and he's really come back, looks like he's really fit. We saw him do a lot of the workout videos over the off season, and gosh, can Von Miller get even better than he was last season?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to believe, but you've got to think there's a chance, right?
I think he comes in with a chip on his shoulder. He didn't get the Defensive Player of the Year last year, missed out by one vote. So I think he comes back with a chip, and he wants to prove, hey, in 2015, I helped lead this team to a Super Bowl. Now I think that I'm one of the best players in the game, not just defense, but overall.
Von's coaches, his teammates, all have taken notice about how he has come back into this 2017 season. Some of them even going as far to adopt his own tricks.
He's amazing. I mean, he's a powerful guy, not just as a pass rusher, but as a run defender. I mean, Von's pretty good.
Von is going to find something about himself that he can get better at. And that's hard to do with him being Von Miller, but he does it. And if he can't find anything to push himself to be better at, he just pushes his physical ability as far as it can go. I mean, everybody saw the offseason training regimen he put himself through and what he's been doing. And that's all because he wants to be Defensive Player of the Year. He wants to be, if not the best, one of the greatest to ever play our position.
I've been working out with him a little bit in the offseason, and he's doing some strange workouts, but, you know, it's definitely helping him. You just look at his body and just see how, you know, cut and fit he is. And Von is the guy that is the best player I've ever played with. And I think that, you know, he could be one of the best to ever play. So he always get better. Everyone can always improve.
So Von Miller very focused on his fitness, his health regimen as he heads into the 2017 season. Another man who was always in peak fitness before he came to training camp, our own Steve Atwater. Steve, when you were looking forward to that first day, how were you getting ready? Were you eating right, diet, fitness? How were you getting ready for camp?
Well, I took the off-season training very, very seriously, and I was a part of the off-season training program here at the complex, so I never really missed any workouts. Whenever we had fitness tests, I was already ready for them. So I didn't have to do any special diets or anything because I ate pretty healthy at the time. So, I was ready when we came to camp.
All the players on this year's squad also passing their fitness test. Very important. Today's A-list, though, who do we got on the offensive side of the football?
Okay, before we go to the A-list, right, I have another A word for you, attack.
Okay.
Now, we've heard the word attack thrown around here a lot lately, and the head coach, Vance Joseph, has said we want to attack. The offense is talking about attacking. The defense is talking about attacking. And we're looking forward to seeing that starting on Sunday. Once they throw the pads on, they will be able to do some attacking. We'll be able to see how much attack they have in them.
Now, on the offensive side of the football, a guy who knows a lot about going up and attacking those high-point footballs, who do we got?
Okay, we have Jordan Taylor on the A-list today for the wide receiver offensive position. Jordan is going into his second year. He's a 6'5", 210-pound receiver. He had several diving catches in traffic today. I thought that was very impressive. Now, the one thing about Jordan, though, he hasn't played much on special teams. And I think a key for him, if he doesn't win that third receiver position, is that he contributes on special teams.
A guy yesterday who you picked, Bradley Roby, a secondary. That was your group back in the day. Are we going secondary again? Who do we got on the defensive side?
No, I had to move away from the secondary, and we had to focus on the big guys up front today. Today on the A-list is Damata Peko. He's a 12th-year defensive nose guard. He played his previous career with the Cincinnati Bengals. He's now here with the Denver Broncos. Coach Vance Joseph made mention that he's very stout up in the middle, and when we watched practice today, we saw a lot of the running backs running up in the middle. If they ran into Damata Peko, they stopped immediately.
When you see a guy like that come to a team with all of that experience, what does that do for a group? Does it take time to get adjusted to a new group, or does a guy like that with all that veteran experience kind of slide in seamlessly?
I think he slides in seamlessly because, number one, he's always been a high-level player. He's a leader in the locker room, and he also is a very big guy, and that's exactly what our defense was looking for up front. Another big guy to help clog up that middle.
We said attack at the beginning. You attacked that A-list with some ferocity. We appreciate your time, Steve. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Matt. Great job, my friend.
We can also hear Steve on the radio every single day through training camp. 1-3, Orange and Blue Radio, 760 AM, and the iHeartMedia app. Steve, as we mentioned, one of the many famous faces here at Broncos training camp. And today was no different. Continuing to see those famous faces, the MMQB's Peter King was here. Phil Milani caught up with him to talk about the Hall of Fame. Pat Bowlen, of course, going to be up for nomination, hopefully within the next month. And he also had a couple of comments about the QB battle.
Day two of Broncos training camp. Pleased to be joined by the MMQB's Peter King. Peter, the Broncos have made a lot of additions to this team over the offseason. What do you feel like some of the expectations are for this team this year?
Well, it's interesting because I think these guys, I mean, Chris Harris told me that they still view themselves the cream of the division. You know, even though they didn't win it last year, and even though the rise of the Raiders and the Chiefs are still good, obviously. But I think the expectation should be that you pick a quarterback, you get behind the quarterback, and you protect them. Because I think one of the storylines that I haven't read or heard too much about is that really, you know, no matter who the Broncos pick as the quarterback, you know, if, you know, whether it's Bowles and Menelik Watson, whether it's Sam Brollo at left tackle, I mean, they're not going to do very much on offense if they don't protect the quarterback. And, you know, again, look, I know that there's so much unknown right now with Jamal Charles and with that backfield now with the injury to Booker. But to me, I kind of look at their team and I say, on offense, I realize there's a lot of question marks, but to me, the biggest thing is those bookend tackles. They got to protect.
A lot of question marks on offense, like you mentioned, especially that quarterback position. A lot of people paying attention to those two. What do you think about the two of them? Obviously, Trevor has more playing experience, but Paxton, a first-round pick.
I think you go with the guy who probably on opening day, Trevor Siemian, is probably going to be more ready, more prepared, and probably make fewer mistakes. But he's also probably not going to be as explosive either with his legs or with his deep arm as Paxton Lynch. So I think the Broncos have to make a decision. You know, it could be that one guy is going to look so much better in training camp that they just give him the job. But they may have to make a decision if it's close, which is the guy who we think is going to play better over the long haul this season. And I think there's a lot of excitement in the building about Paxton Lynch and what he can do if really given the reins for more than a half a game here or one start there. I think they could pick either guy, and the faction who liked the other guy would say, why'd you pick that guy? I mean, it's so close that neither decision, whatever decision they make, is going to be understandable and I think justifiable.
Oh, I talked to you about this at the owners' meeting. It's still a topic now. Mr. B was knocking on the door for the Hall of Fame last year. What will go into the conversations this year, and how close do you think he'll be?
Well, the way the contributors category works at the Hall of Fame, there's a 9-member subcommittee, of which I'm one. And each year they rotate people on and off the committee. So I'm not going to be in the meeting this year. But I believe that if he's not the front runner, I'd say this is just my feeling. I think he and Gil Brandt probably would be the guys who would be the front runners this year. If I'm in the room, if I'm on the committee, I vote my conscience, and I think that's what everybody else should do.
You think that Pat Boland has a pretty strong case, though?
I think he's got a great case, and I think he's got a very good chance. You know, and personally, I'm kind of pulling for him because I think he is a very deserving Hall of Famer. And so, you know, we'll see, and I hope the best for him this year.
Last one for you here. I know that you love beer. You talk about microbrewer. Anything around Denver here?
I'm a big fan of Avery White Rascal. And I haven't had a beer. I got in late last night, and unfortunately I'm leaving today. I probably will not have a Colorado beer on my trip here, which is kind of bad because Colorado is one of the top 3, 4, 5 microbrew states in the country. And it's funny, the people at our site put out, like, for the last year, every beer I've recommended in my column, and I got more email from people in Colorado saying, "You don't have a single Colorado beer there. What's the matter with you?" And I said, "Well, go back. You'll find Avery White Rascal. You'll probably find a couple of other ones from Colorado because I'm..." And, you know, this is a weird thing to say because everybody says, "Oh, you love the craft beer. You don't like normal beers." I like the banquet beer. Yep. I'll drink the banquet beer. Yeah, I'll do it. And so, but anyway, I it's interesting. Everybody is so into their own beer. And I don't know how you have your own beer anymore. There's 9 million beers everywhere you go. So I don't know.
Maybe start brewing your own.
I don't want to do that. I wouldn't be very good at it because everybody hates me because I'm a big Hefeweizen Witbier fan. And everybody said, "Come on, you got to go for the IPAs." I like IPAs. I just like Witbiers more.
Okay. All right, Peter. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Peter King obviously has impeccable taste when it comes to football and beer. A Belgian white ale, the perfect complement for a day like today. We thank him for his time. And another man with impeccable taste, our own Andrew Mason. Mace, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Glad to be here as always.
So now we're going to be recapping the position battles all throughout camp. And today we're focused on left tackles, another position like quarterback. It's very hotly contested, and two names have kind of risen to the top: Tyson Brailo, Garrett Bowles.
Yeah, and let's start with Tyson Brailo because he's the more experienced guy on the roster. And of course, you go back 2 years, he was going to be the starting left tackle, and in fact he did start the first 3 games of the 2015 season before he suffered a torn labrum. Now he's trying to get the job back. He is at his healthiest point since that torn labrum. Of course, he was trying to recover from that into the 2016 season, had some elbow problems in 2016 that really held him back, and he looks bigger and stronger than at any point in his career, and I think that's going to help him, especially when the pads go on. So I'm really curious to see how he does starting Sunday when you've got full contact, full pads, and what he's able to do at full strength. But that being said, Garrett Bowles, first round pick for a reason. The Broncos like him an awful lot. You know, if he ends up being the starting left tackle, he'll be the lightest starting left tackle in the NFL, but that could be to his advantage. He's exceptionally quick. Now, at the same time, the footwork and technique, it's going to take some time. There's going to be some growing pains there. He only started 1 year at the University of Utah, so he's got a steep learning curve, but he's very athletic, a lot of raw tools there, and one thing I like is his resilience and his persistence. You know, he's going to get beat by Von Miller and Shane Ray, but he doesn't get down. And one cool thing that was really neat to see, he went up against Kasim Adebali in one-on-ones. He got the better of it, and who was there to celebrate with him today but Von Miller with a little chest bump. Love seeing that. Love the interaction between the two of them. Clearly, Garrett Bowles is the guy that his teammates want to see succeed.
You don't often see a pass rusher celebrate pass protection, mm-hmm. but we do like to see the spirit from Von Miller. Those left tackles, their job prospects are going to be dependent on keeping Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian upright. These guys going head-to-head again today. How will this quarterback competition change once we get into pads and we get into this weekend?
Well, it's certainly ups the stakes when the pass rush comes in and maybe guys don't hold back quite as much. Obviously, they're going to try to hit the stop sign and not touch the quarterback, but they're coming in a little bit more full bore, so you've got to be a little bit more careful. The bullets are closer to live, as they would say, so it gets a little bit rougher out there. So those decisions that Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian make, they're going to have to be a notch quicker. But what you've seen so far from Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian, it's a good start. I especially like how Lynch's decision-making has gotten quicker. That, to me, is a big area of improvement from year one to year two. When the rush is on, he's willing to step out of the pocket. And instead of really kind of saying, oh, you know, should I stay, should I go, he's making that commitment to get out of the pocket or stay in and wait for the receiver to get open downfield and throw. And that's what you want to see, a quick decision, a commitment one way or the other, and that's a good sign for him.
A man who is always calm in the pocket, our own Andrew Mason. Mace, thanks so much again for joining us. If you want to hear more from Mace, though, every day on Orange and Blue Radio from 3 to 7, Mace is going to be on Inside the Broncos again. That is 7:60 a.m. on your dial and also on the iHeart Media app. Back now with Phil Milani. We've traded Mace in. We've upgraded for some size and depth along the desk here.
Exactly. Some more brawn around here.
As we look into this weekend, though, Saturday and Sunday, we're going to see a lot change. We're going to see the pads come on. The quarterback battle might take on a different tone. What are you looking forward to most about this weekend?
Well, you know, VJ has really worked the guys in slowly, so now maybe they'll expand the field a little bit more and do some more team period stuff. That's what he said after practice today, so I'd expect to see that tomorrow. They'll put the shoulder pads on tomorrow, and then on Sunday it'll be full pads. And that's when I think Emmanuel Sanders said it, you separate the boys from the men when the pads come on and we start playing some real football.
Hey, we always play real football here up
that's
on
right.
this desk,
we
right?
We talk real football.
Exactly. Well, that'll do it for us today, but be sure to tune back in same time tomorrow and make sure to get all of our coverage on DenverBroncos.com. Wall-to-wall training camp coverage. But for now, we leave you with the best of the best from day 2 of training camp.